Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Wednesday, March 13th of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan. As I said, Wednesday, March 13th. And it's great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from here on this nice pre-spring day. I have to say pre because technically spring does not start for another just over a week. But we have temperatures these last couple of days, we've had temperatures that have been at and near 70 all the way up here. Places down to the south of us, like Tennessee, their temperatures don't exactly peak until tomorrow. Did you see that too?
Yes.
That down a little further south, they're like, well, we're supposed to get some rain in that. They're gonna get the peak of the warmth, and it's gonna be blue there. I mean there are states that are basically red, but the sky's gonna be blue. If you know what I mean.
Right.
And of course on the weather map it'll be red too for warmth. Whereas we're about to go kind of average and then kind of blue. March can be a bit crazy weather-wise. You can have a bit of this and a bit of that. You really can. I'm not even a meteorologist, but... If I actually saw to do, I think it's something I would have studied, because I've been interested in certain historic weather patterns, and that, like, just even recently I was looking at, for different places, the amount of time. The record amounts of time that these places have been under 70 every day. And as you might have guessed, places like, in Tennessee, it's common for these places to be under 70 the all-time records are 140, 150, 160 days for certain places. Up here, they're closer to 200. But once you get down to like Macon, places like that, those records fall to 100. Then they fall to like 8, or like 90 or something. The furthest down I looked is like Cordell, Georgia, a bit south of Macon. You've heard of Cordell, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that the amount of days below 70 falls off so quick once you get to Georgia?
I have no idea.
Do you think part of it has to do with the lack of mountains or something, maybe?
Oh, that could be it, yeah.
But something about this, maybe part of it's that 35th parallel, too, I wonder. But then once you get to Atlanta, it gets a little sharper.
That could be.
Because it's a lot of times, otherwise, it always seems like Atlanta and Chattanooga are often rather similar. Doesn't it?
It does.
It often seems like that. Yeah, it seems like there's more of a difference between Atlanta and Macon than what it is Atlanta and Chattanooga. Would you agree?
I would.
Even though Atlanta is basically equidistant between the two. Maybe part of that depends on what part of Macon the airport's in, too, though. That could be a part, too.
It could be.
If it's in South Macon, it makes sense where it could mess with it more so.
Right.
Where if it's in North Macon... You think it would be more similar, but obviously Macon doesn't have the mountains. I've heard someone before say that it was totally landlocked, like as if like there's no river there or anything. Do you remember hearing that before too?
I have.
Like that there's not even a river there?
Yeah.
Is that why they referred to it as landlocked?
It could be.
Some, like a city of that size, it would be kind of weird for it to be totally landlocked.
It would be strange, that's true.
Because any of our cities, you know, around here, we got water near them.
Right.
You know, and because way back when, before we had cars, that's part of how stuff would get place to place, before we had cars. You know, things would be brought in by waterway many a time. And waterways are still used, you know, to a bigger extent. Maybe not always like they used to be necessarily. I mean, it all depends on the place, all depends on the what, all depends on this and that and the other thing. Just saying. But anyhow, it's been warm weather. I've loved it. The bad news, though, is for those of us up here in the north, it's saying bye-bye after today. And the warm weather lovers said, oh. I almost said amen, but I'm like, no. If you amen the cold weather coming back, I think you are kind of crazy.
Kind of.
But it's wild. In fact, I know of somebody who shared something on Facebook about that they and a couple of their kids were camping outside of their house. In a tent. Isn't that pretty wild?
Yeah.
Yep, they were camping in a tent outside their house. Oh, and by the way, in Michigan. Not in some other state like Florida or Texas or a place like that you might expect right now. No, Michigan. In many places in Michigan right now, generally you're supposed to still have some kind of snow cover on the ground. A place like Marquette, you would think they should still be buried under a foot of snow, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
And in some of those places that are further north, like the ski resorts, I've kind of heard of this thing that I don't know if you knew this or not, but their thing is like this. January, February, Miracle March, Awesome April. And then something like that. You've heard of that too?
No, I don't think I have.
But it may. Miracle March to me means that it was super warm. Same thing with Awesome April.
That does sound like what it would sound like, yeah.
But their miracle meant we needed snow so desperately. But we got it! Yay!
Yay!
But I'd be like, we didn't need the snow, but we got it. Oh!
The people who like the snow would be like, yay.
But to me, they would think, yay, the miracle snow came. But to me, it's the miracle warmth, not the miracle snow. like if you've had a winter that's felt so cold that, you know, for a little minute there, you felt like you were going to lose it. Or maybe it felt to you like, ugh. But we call ourselves, I've called this show The Miracle Man from when it was launched. But we call it Miracle Man because I believe in the miracle working power of God. And generally when I think of miracles, true miracles, those are the kind of miracles I think of, are miracles from God.
Amen.
Not these other things that some people might consider miracles, but in a sense to them it might be a miracle. But some of these people will call things certain things, miracles, they don't even have a relationship with my Lord Jesus. They don't even have a relationship with him. Yet they'll still say, oh, it's a miracle that it happened. Real miracles, people call to God for. Real miracles. You know. Because I'll even hear about these athletes, you know, like where they'll call it, they might call it that miracle pass or that whatever, you know. Or that so-called Music City miracle.
Yep, I get what you're saying.
But you heard of that quote-unquote miracle, Music City miracle too, haven't you?
Yeah.
That game from like the late 90s. I don't know if those people on that field prayed. If they prayed, then maybe it was. If not, then I would say no. Would you agree?
That to them,
if someone actually prayed in that case, hopefully they actually did. Because a true miracle is believed for. You know, I believe, you know, even in your body, you know. You're believing for something in your body, or someone else is believing, or whatever. If you're believing for God to do something, you know, on your behalf, I would think you'd be calling out his name. I would think you'd be praying to him for it. I would think you'd be, you know, in order to get that miracle that you want, you got to be believing for it. You got to have that faith that God will do it. Like, if you want that miracle in your life, you got to be believing for it. Whether you're saying it out loud or you're saying it at least in your mind. You got to be believing that he'll do what you're asking him for and trusting in him. And so... Anyhow, I just felt like I was supposed to mention this thing about these miracles that people believe for. You know, you got to have that faith too. And true miracles are done by God. They're caused by the working hand of God. If you've ever seen some program or whatever called the miracle worker, the true miracle worker that I know of is Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
And I've heard of these plays, even on announcements at school, about like come see the miracle worker or this movie called the miracle worker or whatever. When I was younger, I used to hear about these. Do you know what stuff I'm talking about?
I don't believe I do, no.
I hope that was all about Jesus. And not about some other so-called miracle worker.
I really don't know what you, I don't.
Because the only real, legit miracle worker is Jesus.
Amen.
That's totally what I believe. And, I mean, the Bible does say, though, that false prophets will do miracles claiming in my name, but it's not in his name. And Jesus warns us not to believe those people. Jesus warned us not to believe those people. I mean, the false ones. The ones who claim to do miracles in his name, but they're not doing them in his name at all. And he warned us to be careful about that kind of stuff in the last days. So when I talk about these miracles working hand of God, like the miracles that have happened in my life, they're proven. You say, why did you bring this up? Well, I believe if I'm going to name a program, if we name a program the Miracle Man, at least some point here and there you should mention miracles. Oh, isn't that deep? Oh. You know, if you call yourself the Miracle Man program, your show the Miracle Man program, and you never once discuss a miracle, it's like, what? You know, it's like going to the burger place and they have no burgers on their menu at all. So, anyhow, well, that being said, there's a couple things I want to mention to you that the first thing is a special programming announcement for something upcoming. What it is that starting like late next week, starting with like, I think next Tuesday, I'm going to start diving into the teaching on Easter, the teachings on Easter, the different accounts of what on earth happened with Jesus, you know, as far as like him shedding his blood, what did he say when he was on the cross, and, you know, those kinds of teachings. It'll be great. I've been doing it since I launched the show at Easter time. I've been doing it every Easter time since then, since we launched it. And Easter is very important for Christians. Right there with Christmas. Not to be little either. I would say one is just as important as the other. Why? No birth? There could be no resurrection. Just imagine, how could he be resurrected if he was never even born?
True.
So you couldn't have Easter without Christmas. You couldn't. But, you know, at the same time, when he died for us on the cross, that paid a price for our sin. That paid the price. No, not so we could keep sinning, but so that we could be forgiven of our sins without having to go kill the animals and all that stuff.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. I think most of us, with all the stuff we've done, chances are we'd be flat broke by the time we were done, getting all those animals we were supposed to get. We'd be flat broke and flat worn out. We'd have to go to that place to get that certain animal. Some of us would have to drive hours and hours and hours and hours to get them, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Like, just imagine, I got to go to this place from that certain flock to get it. And they'd be like, really? All day? No. That's why we just repent to Jesus, and he's faithful to forgive us. I'm sure I'll bring that up again. But nonetheless, so that'll be coming up. Soon and very soon, as they say. The other stuff I want to remind you about is stuff I always try to remind you about every episode. First of all, the book, Rivers of Miracles, it's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been. And let me tell you, I have seen the miracle-working power of God firsthand in my life. I have. Even at times that I was very young and might have not understood a lot of that stuff, and there was things I was going through, and God was telling me of it. But guess what? There's still proof and documentation that he did it. I know he did it. And I don't have to sit here and go, well, Mom, did he do it or didn't he? No, he did. And he will again. He will. He did it. He's moved on my behalf since then, too. And I know it was him. I can try to give credit to humans or myself or whatever, but ultimately it was him. You know, even with school stuff over the years. And God was faithful with that and helped me in different areas, and he's been so faithful. Sorry, not trying to do dead air. I was just taking a little water sip. That's all I was doing was just taking a little water sip. I wasn't trying to do dead air. But anyhow, you know, he's been so faithful. You know, and I thank God, you know, for Dr. Barclay. You know, him being in our life. You know, he's been an awesome pastor. I've been blessed to have him as my pastor. But you can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life and how God has been so faithful. And I think of how when I was very little, my mom had said, you know what? Let's go to God. She was like, heal him or take him home. Heal him or take him home. Obviously, she wasn't going to take me out, but, you know, if I would have went out right there, it would have been, you know, God just promoting me. But guess what? I'm still here on this earth bringing this broadcast that shows me that God has a plan. That's what it shows me. And I know he's just and willing and able. I don't have to sit here and worry and hope and wish. No, because I know he will. I know he's got me in his hand. And to those of you listening, if you trust God, he has you. You don't got to sit at home and be afraid. Trust in God for that miracle. And all right, I go ahead and read my book. Go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. You will be glad you read the book. Can guarantee it. It's a true story. None of it was made up. None of it. And so, and I pray that you read it, and I pray that you read it and that you, you know, share it with others. And the more of these we can share with others, the better. Because I want this book to get out more and more. I really do. First, my mom was struggling to write the book because God told her to write it, and she's like, really? Me? She did it. I don't call it my mom's book. I call it my book. It's a book about me. It's just that she wrote it. But while I'm on the subject, you know, you get a two for one because you also get some of my mom's testimony too. And how she got, and how she got freed from some addictions because she was addicted to some substances, you know, to alcohol, to nicotine, and was using some drugs. But you know what? God freed her of that stuff, and God can free you too. So you see, when you get that book, Purple, you'll realize that he's not just those one who heals bodies. He's also one who will heal, who can heal, you know, free you from, you know, addictions. He can and he will, if you believe him to. And, you know, he can heal your mind. He can heal you of anger issues. He can heal you of different things. There's no issue that God goes, okay, this is too hard. I can't deal with it. can't think of any issues that he's too small to deal with. So read that book. Please. Go online to the website I told you about, Rivers of Miracles, Rivers with an I, themiracles.com. Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick that I want to try to talk about is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And I do no pressure. I don't come on here every episode and tell you how much to give. I don't do that. But I will say this. Every dollar counts in this day and age. Every dollar counts. It really does. So in order to sow your seed, you can go online to paypal.com. When you go to the website, you'll see a search box. In the search box, you can type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Now keep in mind, if you would please, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like for you to keep in mind, the first R, Rivers, is capitalized, along with the S in Shukla. And also, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. And when I get notification that someone's sown seed, I pray over that seed. And I call it blessed, and I call you blessed. In addition, I call you blessed, and that seed blessed. And the verse I want to sow into you tonight goes like this. Luke 6:38. Therefore, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. Didn't say tithe and it shall be given. It didn't say pray and it shall be given. It said give and it shall be given unto you. As we just discovered. Also, I want to mention, it's the heart that God looks at. He looks at your heart. He looks at more at the percentage of what you give rather than the dollar amount. So we got to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord. Tonight I'm going to look at Ecclesiastes. But like I said, I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for this evening. I have and minds, healing brokenness. I hear a generation full of faith declare. I feel a generation breaking through despair. And our soul, so it shall be. Yes, out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Oh, I have heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds. We are a generation breaking through the despair. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be. Yes, out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom, he is healing right now. He is hope, joy, love, and peace and life. He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. And proclaim our love for him. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom, he is healing right now. He is hope, joy, love, peace, life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I saw the Lord seated on his throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and the angels circled
circle round. Him and cried, oh, you are holy, also holy, you are holy, Lord of all, and woe is me, for I was unclean. And now my eyes have seen the Holy King, and he cleansed my lips right before I died, and the pillar shook as the angels cried, oh, you are holy, also holy, you are holy, Lord of all. Oh, you are holy, also holy, you are holy, Lord of all. You are holy, also holy, you are holy, Lord of all. Oh, you are holy, also holy, you are holy, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord God Almighty, he reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty, he reigns. Hallelujah. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord God Almighty, he reigns. Yes, you do, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you are, Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty, he reigns. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Ooh. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Oh, Lord. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to us. Thank you. You are holy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to each and every one of us. Thank you for what you've done for us, for what you're doing for us right now. Thank you for the plans you have for us. Their plans to give us hope in a future. They're not plans to hurt us. They're plans to help us. Thank you for what you are doing for each and every one of us. You know, Lord, what we have need of. And I know that you are faithful and just and are able to do it for us. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these listeners. Thank you. You're healing
our minds. You're healing our bodies. You're strengthening us. You're meeting, thank you that you would meet our needs, the needs of every listener that is tuned into this program. You know what the needs are, Lord. I don't know what all they are, but you do. And I know that you are faithful and just and will meet these needs right where these people are. And I thank you for this word tonight, as we study your word. I thank you that you anointed me to bring your word. Thank you that these listeners have ears ready to listen. Amen. That they have ears ready to listen and receive what you have for them. And that they would be focused and attracted. And as opposed to being not focused and distracted, that instead they would be attracted to your word. And I claim that. And I thank you, Master, that I make my confession that sponsors come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program all the time, more and more people tune in. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. I want you to go with me, if you would please, to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Praise God. And I want to encourage those of you at home, you know, whatever I do for the next bit, you follow on. I pray, you pray. I sing, you sing. You know, whatever I do, you do. This is not a spectator sport. This is interactive. Don't just sit there like you do when you're at a football game and just think that it's a spectator sport. Now, obviously, if you're at the football game, hopefully if you're in the stadium sitting by me, hopefully you're cheering. You know, if the team is doing something that you don't like, you know, hopefully, you know, show them that you don't like what they did. Keep it appropriate, of course. But you know what I mean. Like, you know, three. And I'm going to start with verse 1, so whatever I do, you do. So don't just sit there and be like one of those, you know, one of those little mannequins. My pastor has said before, when we won't say amen, my pastor has said, these people, what you see on the screen, these are not mannequins. I think it's funny when he says that. Like, he was like, I did not go and put all these mannequins in my church. I think it's funny. That would be really expensive. How much are mannequins, by the way? Like, aren't they like $1,000 a piece?
I have no idea.
They're not cheap, I don't think. I doubt they're cheap. Nonetheless, cheap or not. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for activity. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to marry, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. To embrace, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. Hopefully not your family. A time for war, and a time for peace. Just turning the page. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden that God has laid on men. I mean, he has made everything beautiful. in his tongue. He has also sent eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for me, for men, than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything that God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is, has already been, and what will be, has been before. And God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring judgment both to both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Meaningless fate is like of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so does the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward, and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Chapter 4. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they, no comforter. Powers on the side. Let's go to 5. Stand in awe of God. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they are wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. So yet, let your words be few. As the dream comes when there are many cares, in the speech of a fool when there are many words, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. in the page. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow any. I mean, it is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it or keep it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands?" Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. If you see the poor oppressed in a district, justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over in them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefits are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. We receive under the sun wealth hoarded by the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain? Since he toils for the wind. All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given us. For this is his law. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. You see, when we read this, what we see is there's literally a time. I mean, there's a time for everything. You know, there, you know, like there's four seasons in a year and all that kind of stuff, you know, 365 days a year, and, you know, you'll live anywhere up to 120 years, you know, that kind of stuff. And over the course of that time, you'll laugh, you know, you'll cry, you'll know, you'll do this and you'll do that, and you'll, you know, be up and down and all that kind of stuff. But then it says, but then in that, you know what it says eventually? You will all give an account for your actions. You'll give an account for the time you spent on this earth. What did you do with it? What did you say? And those sins you did, why'd you do them? You'll give an account to the ultimate judge, which is God. People will say, oh, God can't judge. Well, he knows our motives. He knows. He knows whether we will be being good or evil. He knows. And, you know, knows our heart. He'll judge both the wicked and the righteous, just like how he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Unfortunately, sometimes it's when we don't want the rain, but... That's just a product of living on the earth. But anyhow, you know, he will judge them all just like how he made us all. And when you think about it, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And by fearful, I don't mean God was afraid when he made us. He wasn't. I'm trying to find a place where he said, where he, like, where when it said fearfully made, what he meant is that he was afraid when he made us. It's not that kind of fear. It was he did it out of love. That's why it says we were fearfully and wonderfully made. In his image, by the way. We were made in his image, not in our own silly image that we might think that we should be. And he didn't make us to be confused. He didn't want us to be confused. No, he didn't. You know, he made us all how he wanted us to be. And he loves us so much. And you know, there's a time to be awake, there's a time to sleep, there's a time, you know, there's a time, you know, you should always be walking in love. You know, there is a time to dance. There is. You know, as we go through life, we'll go through, you know, certain kinds of things. And there is a time for literally anything and everything. And it, you know, when I think about it, you know, I think about my life and I go like, well, I think Jesus would be proud of me. What about you in your life? you'll have to judge yourself. Because, you know, we're in the last of the last days. And you know, on Judgment Day, you're going to take the most important exam you've ever taken. And that's like, and that is from God. How did you live your life? You know, if you're a kid, what did you do with your children? You'll have to give an account for them. We'll all have to give an account for ourselves. Yeah, we will. And I plan on him hearing him say to me, "Well done, you good and faithful servant," rather than hearing him say, "You wicked, lazy servant, you're a crook." Okay, he wouldn't call us a crook, but I mean, he would say, but he would be unafraid to say we were wicked and lazy if that's what we were. I mean, you know, I don't plan on hearing him say that I was wicked, lazy, disobedient. I didn't do what he called me to do. I didn't reach the people I was supposed to reach. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't. No. I plan on him saying to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Enter into the joy." I mean, come and join in your Father's happiness. In other words, you know, come in to heaven and be in my presence. And then we'll get to go, you know, and enjoy our loved ones that have made it there ahead of us. And, you know, to hear the testimonies of different people. And, but anyhow, I love how at the end of chapter 3, how it talks about, you know, that we will all give an account. And there's some of you people who say, you know, your life on earth, maybe you don't necessarily have to give an account. What do you mean I have to give an account? Well, there's multiple places in the Bible where it talks about you'll be given account, your works will be tried by fire. Because you'll say one thing and all to your spirit, you know, but it'll be tried, you know, like, did you do it or did you not? And if you lie, it won't be good for you, will it? If you lie to God, it will not be good for you. Because you're going to be judged. And so, you know, and so to those of you who haven't been living right, I would say turn or burn. Heaven or hell when you die. Turn or burn. Repent or perish. Exactly. By turn, I mean, you know, repent of your sins. Because I don't want you to go to hell. And if you're into partying and stuff, or anything like that, there's no party in heaven. I mean, in hell. Excuse me. There's no fun in hell. All the parties, all the fun in hell has been canceled due to the intense fire. You know, on Earth, you know, when it snows a lot, this is Michigan, when it snows a lot, they'll cancel schools and other things if there's too much snow. Well, snow days. But there, you know, it's all fire days, isn't it? Everything's everything is canceled because of the fire. But in heaven, freedom! And everything, and nothing is canceled due to the intense anything. I mean, what is canceled is suffering, oppression, depression, and all that. That's canceled forever. Don't have to deal with that stuff no more. That stuff that's been bugging you forever here on Earth, won't have to deal with it there. You'll be with him in paradise. And another thing, while I'm on, our life on this earth is a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. If you're listening to this program tonight and you think maybe I got 40 years to get right with God, oh, really? We're the last of the last of the last of the last day. Basically, everything that you said would happen before the rapture, just about everything has happened. Countries are lined up. Can happen at any time. So this idea that some of you might, if you have that idea of, oh, I got 40 years to get right with God. Oh, do you? I mean, yeah, if the Lord tarries, but I wouldn't risk it. I'd get right with him now, right here, right now. Mm-hmm. I'd repent. If I were you, I'd be repenting. Oh, and by the way, well, here's what's not going to happen. There's not going to be some big intercom where Jesus is going to say into it, Jesus to earth, Jesus to earth, in about 3 months on this certain date, my trumpet's going to blow, we're going to have the shout, we're going to have the voice of the archangel, and those of you who are ready, you know, the dead in me will rise first, and all that, he's not going to, and then say, now make sure you're ready in the next 3 months. Or in a month or in 2 weeks or whatever. If you thought he was going to do that, he won't. Because here's what he said and said. You will not know the day or the hour. He's going to come when most of us don't expect it. And here's what I like to say. It will not sound like the trumpet at the football game or the trumpet in your local church. No, it won't. You might hear it with your natural ears. Maybe we'll only hear it in our spiritual ears. I don't know. I believe we'll hear it. I also believe we'll hear that shout with that voice of the archangel. I really do. I really believe that. So if I were you, I'd be checking myself. I'd be making sure I was right with God. I'd be making sure I was living right. I'd be making sure I've forgiven everybody of everything. And that I wasn't holding grudges. Because this is serious. We're at the last of the last days. And if you haven't even accepted Jesus yet, right now is a great time to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you will not make heaven. Well, I've done all this stuff in your kingdom, and I've talked to people about you, and I've blah, 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 blah. And then you hear him say, I never knew you. That's what he said to the rich young ruler. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Don't plan to hear that him say that to me. So if I were you, I'd make sure I was right with him. I would make sure I knew him. Make sure that I knew if I was going to heaven or not. And that if you're unsure, if you're not sure right now, this is a sign you really need to examine yourself and make sure so that you can go to heaven. Because I don't want you to suffer. I want you to go to heaven. I mean, we want to go to heaven, right? I do. Some of you listening at home who didn't get excited, I'm not sure about you. Not sure. Amen, 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 amen. I know, amen. Yes. I'm going to go there. Be there with him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this program, for every listener who tuned into this program. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would tell people about you, that we would realize that those people who might listen, who might not know, we will give an account. Thank you, Lord God, that we would be ready to give, to stand before you and give you our account of our life and what we've done. Thank you that we'd be proven as worthy when that day comes. And that you would say, well done and faithful servant to us. And I thank you that we would be those who actually do what we talked about, your word, and not just those who heard it but did nothing about it. In the name of Jesus. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you, Lord, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.